We read the story, some of the, not the whole story, but for some of the story from Balaam this morning. In case you don't remember, Balaam was the one whose donkey spoke to him. As a young Christian, I didn't really understand this story. Balaam went and asked God the first time if he could go to Balak and curse this people that had come out of Egypt. And God said, no, I don't want you to go. And then Balak sent more messengers back with more reward. And Balaam said, well, I can't go beyond what God says, but I'll go back and ask him again. And the second time Balaam went to God, God said, okay, you can go. And then you read down in verse 22, says, and God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And then verses 32 and 33, and the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And the thing I didn't understand was, if God said, okay, it's okay for you to go, why did he put that angel in the way to try to stop him? Why did he call his way perverse? Why did God say his anger was kindled against him? And why did the angel say, if your ass hadn't turned aside these three times, I would have killed you? If God said it was okay for you to go, why was he so mad at Balaam because he went? And then as I got a little bit older as a Christian and I read the Bible more and more, I realized that Balaam was a man of God. In fact, in verse 6, it says, Balak, as he was talking to him, I know you're a man of God, because who you bless are blessed and who you cursed is cursed. And as a man of God, Balaam should have known that God doesn't change his mind. When he went to God the first time and God said, no, I don't want you to go. You're not going to curse this people because they're my people and they're blessed. So I just want you to stay put. As a man of God, Balaam should have known that there was no need for him to go back and ask God the second time if he could go, because he should have known our God, his God, and our God doesn't change his mind. You see, even the world today is always trying to get us to go back to God and say, did you really mean that? When you said that, did you really mean that? And by the way, it hasn't changed. I mean, that was the temptation in the Garden of Eden. When the snake went to Eve and said, oh, God knows that if you eat the fruit, you won't die. He didn't really mean that. He meant that if you ate it, you would become gods. You would be as wise as him. That's what Satan tried to do to Jesus when he tempted him in the wilderness. Tried to get Jesus to say, well, God must have not really meant what he said. And again, the three temptations, I don't have time to go through them this morning. But that's what Satan was trying to do. He was trying to get Jesus to doubt God. To say, well, God didn't really mean that. And I want to remind you this morning, our God doesn't change his mind. It doesn't matter what Satan says. He's the father of all lies. It doesn't matter what the world says or how the world changes or what the world offers. God doesn't change his mind. Let me give you some examples this morning. Sin, number one, sin is still sin. We can dress it up, and we can call it by different names, and we can make it the world, not we, but the world can make it socially acceptable and legal, and we can go back to God and we can say, okay, God, what do you think now? Is your mind changed? Is it any different? And God would say, no, sin is still sin. I heard somebody say one time, you could take a hog and give that hog a bath. You could put perfume on him. You could paint his toenails. You could put earrings in his ear and a ribbon on his tail, and he'd still be a hog. And we can try to dress sin up. And we can call it by different names, and we can make it socially acceptable, and we can make it legal, like we've done for abortion. And we go back to God and we say, God, what do you think? And God say, it's still murder. It's still murder. Listen, there's enough parents that want to adopt children that every child that's been aborted in the whole wide world could get have a good home if that child was given birth. We call homosexuality a choice. We've made it illegal to discriminate. And we said it's socially okay. And so we go to God and say, God, what do you think? We've passed this law. We've made it legal. People have come out of the closet. What do you think? And God says, it's still an abomination in my sight. You see, sin has become too commonplace. We've gotten used to it. We've seen it on the TV and on the computer and hear it. And again, I want to remind you, we have a God who doesn't change. We have a God who doesn't change his mind. Sin is still sin. When people get to thinking that sin isn't so bad, they don't know that they need Jesus so much. And so, when all sin is still sin, God doesn't change his mind. Number two, the wages of sin is still death. The wages of sin is still separation from God. Some people must think that God's going to get mellower. I don't know if that's a word or not. More mellow. Some people must think God's going to get more mellow as he gets older. And some people think that he's going to change his system of justice. But I want to tell you this morning, the price that Cain paid for his sin when he didn't come to God with a blood sacrifice, even though God told him, hey, there's one outside the door. You can go get that lamb that's outside of the door and you can come to me the way that I told you to come. The same price that Cain paid for his sin will be the same price that the last sinner in this world will pay when they reject Jesus Christ. Separation from God. Don't you believe these people that tell you hell is just something that somebody made up to scare people into getting saved? Hell is real. It's a place, a real place, a place of fire in the bottomless pit where the worm dieth not, that God made for Satan, but that he'll use to punish every single person that rejects Jesus Christ as their Savior. So sin is still sin. Number two, the wages of sin is still death. Number three, Jesus is still the only way to get peace with God. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. God's not going to change his mind. He's not going to change it. Yeah, he's not going to say, well, you can be something or you can do something or you can pay something and I'll forgive your sin. That's not the way it's ever going to work. That's not the way it ever worked. The only way to get your sins paid for, the only way to get right with God is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The answer that Paul and Silas gave to the Philippian jailer when he asked the question, what must I do to be saved, is never, ever going to change. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved, other than the name of Jesus. God is not going to change his mind. Number four, not only is sin still sin, not only is the wages of sin still death, not only is Jesus still the only way to get peace with God, number four, the Bible is still the Bible. I'm talking about the King James Bible. You know, we have these translations of the month now. They take out the blood. They make God a mother. They do away with hell. They lighten up on sin. and they have somebody publish it, and you go to God, we go to God, and we say, God, what do you think? What do you think about this new version of the Bible? And if God could speak from heaven, he would put what he's put in his word. He'd say, it is a perversion of my word. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. The Bible is still the Bible. And these people that say, well, we need a different translation so that it's easier for people to understand. And I want to tell you this morning, that's a bunch of hogwash. Hey, I went to the bookstore the other day. I picked up one of these versions. Let me read you this verse. See if you can recognize it. For the heavenly being so endeared the cosmos that he offered up his only offspring, that anyone who mentally consents that he is God will not cease to exist, but forever endure. You know what verse that was? John 3:16. Now, is that verse easier to understand? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What's so hard about that to understand? I mean, I read that verse and I said, who wrote this? Who wrote? I mean, the cosmos. Listen. I can understand John 3:16, and so can you. There's not a person in this room that would stand and honestly say, I can't understand John 3:16 in the King James Bible. And here's what I was thinking. If we thought about and studied the other verses in the Bible, like we did John 3:16, if we memorized other verses in the Bible, like we have John 3:16, if we meditated on other verses in the Bible, like we have on John 3:16, maybe we wouldn't need a new translation to understand them either. Huh? Huh? The reason people think they need a new translation is they haven't read and studied and meditated on this one. Because the Holy Spirit, who moved men to write this book, made the promise that if you ask me, I'll help you to understand it. My grandma didn't finish the sixth grade. The only Bible she had was the King James Bible. And her King James Bible took her to heaven, took most of her family to heaven. And I'll be honest with you, I don't have time to check out all these new translations. The only reason they come out is because they want to make money. And you don't have time to check them out either. Stick with one that's been proven down through the ages, the King James. And if you don't understand it, ask the one that wrote it to help you understand it. The Bible is still the Bible. Number five, the great commandments are still the great commandments. In Matthew 22, a lawyer came to Jesus and said, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know what the world says today? Oh no, your well-being should come before anything. Your pleasure should come before anything. Your own self-development should come before anything. Or the pleasure and the well-being and the self-development of your family, that should come before anything. And Jesus said, no, that's not right. And again, family was important to Jesus. He tells us, look, the best family people in the world are Christians. The best family people in the world are those that love Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all that you are. That's the first great commandment. And anything we put in God's place in our life, anything that comes before God is an idol. It's something that stands in the way of our relationship with God. be it a bad thing or a good thing. And again, I'm not saying you ought not to love your family. You ought to love your family. As a child of God, you ought to love your family. But Jesus said one time, your love for God and your love for me ought to be so great that when it's compared to the love that you have for your family, that love light might in some people's eyes look like hate. The great commandments are still the great commandments. And then number six, the great commission is still the great commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I know people today say, well, it's not like it used to be in the old days. People are harder today. They're not open to the gospel today. They won't listen. The gospel's not relevant anymore. Listen to me. The gospel is still the only thing that will keep people out of hell. The gospel is still the only thing that will make people right with God. The gospel is still the only hope that this old sinful world has. You can try to change God's plan all you want, but God doesn't change His mind. God's plan from the very beginning, before the foundation of the world was laid, that Jesus would come and die for our sins. We would receive Him as our Savior, and then we go out and tell somebody else, and tell somebody else, and teach them how to tell somebody else, so they could tell somebody else, and teach somebody else, so they could tell somebody else, and on it goes, and goes, and goes, and goes. That plan hasn't changed. Our God doesn't change His mind. He said in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. In Hebrews 13:8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And they're not going to change. Sin is still sin. The wages of sin is still death. The only way to get peace with God is still Jesus Christ. The Bible is still the Bible. The greatest commandments are still the greatest commandments. And the Great Commission is still the Great Commission. If you're here today and you're not saved, you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, let me give it to you straight. And it's not me, it's this book. You're on your way to hell. You're on your way to that place that God prepared for Satan, but that He'll use to punish every person that rejects Jesus Christ. Once you go there, you're not going to get a second chance. There's not a purgatory where people can pray or pay your way out of. Once you enter into hell, you will be there forever. And it's best, listen to me, it's best if you avoid it. If you don't go there in the first place. And the only way you cannot go there in the first place is to realize that you're a sinner and that sin makes you deserve hell, but that Jesus Christ paid for your sins. And because He did, God can offer to you the gift of eternal life. But it's not who you are or what you've done or what you can pay. It's what you do with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Amen. If you're here today and you've never received that gift, the gift of life, would you this morning? I beg you this morning, would you receive it? There's no other way, no other way, no other way to get right with God. No other way to go to heaven. No other way to avoid hell than Jesus Christ. He can be yours today if you ask Him. If you ask Him. Most of us are Christians. That's why I threw the last 3 points in. We need to stay in this book. This is God's Word. Light unto my path, lamp and a light, guide us, keep us out of sin if we stay in this book. And we need to love God. We need to love God, and we need to love others. And we need to be busy telling people about Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank You. Thank You for the story of Balaam, an unusual story in the Old Testament. But what truth it reveals to us about who You are. And the fact that You're an unchanging, unwavering God. You don't even flicker, as the book of James tells us. There's no variableness in You. you don't change. And Father, help us to realize that it doesn't matter what Satan says, doesn't matter what the world says, we're still going to be held accountable for our sin. We're still going to pay for our sin. And if we don't get Jesus to pay for it for us, we're going to end up dying and we're going to go out into eternity and suffer in hell forever and ever and ever. I pray that not one person here faces that eternity. I pray if there's one in our midst that doesn't know for sure that they're on their way to heaven, that right where they sit, they would admit their sin and they would ask Jesus, as he died on Calvary, as he paid the price, they would ask Jesus to be their Savior, the Savior from that punishment of sin, the Savior that will make them right with you, the Savior that will give them a home in heaven. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray that we would be what you called us to be, a representative of the name we bear, Christian, a representative of Christ. And we would love you, and we would love others, and we would tell others about Jesus. I pray that you'd bless this invitation. Help those that need to make a decision for you to come. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.